All right, welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be tackling figures of speech.
Oh, cool.
And specifically, how they get translated.
Okay, yeah.
And our expert today is actually a lecturer by Dr. George Payton, who is a Bible translation expert.
Interesting.
So, we're looking at his lecture, and he had some really interesting points, like, how do you translate the idea of fishers of men?
Right.
If someone has no idea what fishing is, never seen a fishing rod or a hook or anything.
That makes sense.
And then he talks about how different cultures handle, delicate topics.
Yeah.
And he brings up this this example of the Orma tribe, and they have very strict rules about even talking about childbirth.
Wow.
And then there's even this this phrase, the king has traveled.
Okay.
Which actually, we'll get into it, but it actually has a very different meaning than you might think if you're not familiar with that culture.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I think one of the things that struck me right off the bat was Dr. Payton really emphasizes that translation is about more than just swapping out words,
Yeah, definitely.
It's really about getting the heart of the message and understanding how different cultures shape the meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like... it's not just about the literal words, but also the cultural context, right?
Absolutely.
Like, what do those words evoke for the people who are hearing them?
Right. And what are the different layers of meaning that might be present, depending on the culture?
Yeah. And how those layers might get lost in translation
yeah.
if you're not careful.
So I guess to kind of kick things off, let's jump into metaphors and similes.
Okay.
These are those tools that, paint pictures with words.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we use them all the time. Someone is... brave as a lion,
right?
Or sly like a fox.
I love those. Those are great.
Yeah. So Dr. Payton actually breaks down how these figures of speech actually work.
Oh, interesting.
And it's way more complex than I realized.
Okay, tell me more.
Yeah. So he points out that there's actually three parts.
Okay.
So there's the topic, the thing we're actually talking about.
Right.
Then there's the illustration. The thing we're comparing it to.
Okay.
And then there's this thing called the point of similarity.
Uh-huh.
Which is like the connection between those two.
Right, right.
And sometimes that point of similarity isn't even stated directly.
It's
just kind of infer it based on our knowledge.
Right, just from our understanding of the world.
Yeah, exactly. So in the Bible, there's that verse, he is like a tree planted by streams of water.
Okay, yeah.
And it's very poetic.
It is.
But are we all picturing the same thing?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I might picture, a willow tree or something.
Mm. Mm.
But Dr. Payton actually mentioned how that verse, it resonated with him because he lived in Kenya for a while.
Oh, wow.
And he said that they're like the trees by the dry riverbeds.
Okay.
They actually still thrive. Because their roots, they reach down and get to the water that's underground.
Wow.
But if you've never seen that, the metaphor, its impact is totally different.
Totally different.
So I guess that kind of gets to the heart of the translator's dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you make sure the meaning and the feeling
right.
carry over into a new language?
I see. So it's not just about making sure that people understand the basic concept.
Right.
But also that they feel the same way about it.
Exactly.
Hmm. That's a tough one.
Yeah. And Dr. Payton, he outlines some strategies that translators use. Sometimes they might actually turn a metaphor into a simile.
Okay.
To make the comparison more explicit. Or they might actually spell out the point of similarity.
Right.
If it's not obvious.
Right.
And then sometimes, as a last resort, they might just have to explain the meaning directly.
Yeah. I guess sometimes there's just no other way.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
Imagine taking that fishers of men idea.
Right.
And trying to explain that to someone who's never seen fishing.
Right.
How do you even, how do you explain the idea of catching people? Without it sounding,
right, yeah,
kind of predatory.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Right, how much can you adapt a figure of speech,
right,
without actually messing with the original message?
Yeah, it's a tough balance to strike.
Yeah.
How much freedom do you have as a translator to really, make those kinds of changes,
right,
without distorting the meaning?
Yeah, and then there's that whole, cultural context thing,
yeah.
and You know, he uses that example of Herod, that fox, and you know, like we think of like a sly fox, but that might have meant something totally different back then.
Right, it probably did.
Like Dr. Peyton points out that, you know, in that culture, foxes weren't necessarily seen as being cunning.
Really?
Yeah, they were actually more often viewed as being small
Oh, interesting.
and kind of insignificant creatures.
Okay.
So calling Herod a fox
Right.
might have actually been more of an insult about his weakness
I see.
than about his like cleverness, you
So
know?
it's like calling someone a little pipsqueak or something,
Yeah, exactly.
rather than, you know, a mastermind.
Right. And that just shows like how important it is to understand like the cultural backdrop.
Absolutely. You can totally miss the nuance if you don't understand the context.
Yeah, you really can.
Wow, that's
Yeah, it
fascinating.
is. So it's like a single phrase can just like, you know, be loaded with all this cultural stuff. Yeah. And speaking of delicate language, Dr. Peyton talks about euphemisms. And you know, these are like those little verbal cushions we
You do
use,
soften things.
yeah, to soften things. Especially when you're talking about you know, touchy subjects. And you know, it got me thinking like, wow, we use these all the
We
time
do.
without even realizing it.
Yeah, for sure.
And he makes this great point that euphemisms are so culturally specific.
Oh, yeah.
Like what might be totally fine in one context could be like completely inappropriate in another. And it really just comes down to like being sensitive to those nuances.
Yeah, absolutely. Like being respectful of the culture and understanding like what's considered appropriate.
Yeah, and I love this. He has this rule of thumb for translators. And it's so simple, but it's brilliant.
Oh, it is.
He's like, when you're dealing with sensitive material,
Okay.
ask yourself, could I read this to my grandmother?
That's great.
Like comfortably,
I love that.
you know? And it's just this like really simple but effective test.
It is, yeah, because it
Yeah.
really gets at like, you know, is this appropriate for the audience? Is
Yeah.
this, you know, respectful of the culture and the context?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then he gives some great examples, like you know, from around the world,
Okay.
like in Ghana,
Okay.
instead of saying the king has died, they say the king has traveled.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
Like
so
just
dead.
like straight up announcing,
Right.
you know, the king is dead.
Right. Yeah, I guess in some cultures that would be like incredibly taboo. Yeah.
And then you know, even like everyday things
Yeah.
like talking about bodily functions, you
Okay.
know, like in Swahili.
You know, they have all these euphemisms for saying you need to use the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Like, I need to help myself or I have a small need.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so
So it's like even those basic human needs like get dressed up in polite language.
yeah, it's kind of funny when you think about it.
It is.
And of course, you know, the Bible is full of euphemisms too.
Right, of course.
Like, you know, remember the story about Saul going into a cave to cover his feet? Let's just say he wasn't putting on socks.
That's a classic example of saying something without actually saying it, like
Exactly.
conveying the meaning but not being explicit.
Yeah.
And I imagine that must be like really tricky for translators to like find equivalent euphemisms
Right.
in other languages.
Yeah, to maintain that same like level of discretion. And then there's that that famous line, you know, Adam knew his wife, which has been like translated
You often
in
is
so
gonna
many different ways, some more successfully than others.
I bet.
And Dr. Peyton actually tells this this really funny story about translating the Book of Genesis into Orma. And they initially used an expression that meant knowing a woman. But it turned out that in Orma, that phrase implied adultery.
Oh
Yeah,
no.
so
What makes
it's like a
sense?
perfect example of how even if a seemingly straightforward translation can go like hilariously wrong
Totally.
if you don't really understand the nuances of the language.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to be so careful with those subtle meanings.
So it's not just about finding words that mean the same thing. It's about finding words that feel the same way.
Capturing the tone and the feeling.
Yeah, in that culture.
That's a really nuanced challenge.
It is. And it gets even more complex when you think about the fact that translators are often working with texts that deal with really, really sensitive topics. And he shares this anecdote about this this translation team that was working with a female consultant. And when they came to a passage that dealt with you know, women's things, the men on the team actually asked the woman to leave the room
Wow, really?
because they were too embarrassed
Oh my gosh.
to discuss it in front of her.
That's incredible.
Oh, right.
Like that just shows you how much, you know, cultural sensitivities, especially around gender and sexuality, can really impact the translation process. Yeah, and it underscores the need for sensitivity and awareness, not just of the words themselves, but also of the cultural context.
Like what's considered appropriate to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And who you can talk about it with.
And the complexities don't stop there.
Oh no.
Dr. Payton, he points out another layer of challenges with modern Bible translations.
Okay.
So in lots of parts of the world, people who don't speak English,
Right.
they actually rely on contemporary English translations
Okay.
as a model for their own translations. But those English translations,
Yeah.
they're often written for a Western audience,
Right.
you know, and they're full of idioms and figures of speech that might not resonate or even make sense
Right.
in other cultures.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's like this this chain reaction of potential misinterpretations.
Right, like
Right.
one misinterpretation leads to another and
Yeah,
so on.
exactly.
Yeah, that's a tricky situation.
Yeah, and imagine like trying to explain the
Yeah.
phrase,
Yeah.
"You are the apple of my eye,"
Yeah.
to someone who has never seen an apple.
Right, exactly. Like, what does that even mean if
Right.
you don't have that cultural reference point?
And that really
Yeah.
highlights the importance of considering the audience
Yeah.
and the cultural baggage that words can carry.
For sure. And I think, you know, it's easy to forget that, especially in a world that's so globalized. You know, we think, oh, everyone understands English or everyone understands these common phrases, but that's often not the case.
Yeah, it's like he's saying that
Yeah.
even in a globalized world, like cultural nuances are more important than ever.
Absolutely. And it really emphasizes the need for translators to be incredibly mindful of their audience and the cultural context that they're working in.
Yeah, and then he brings up this
Yeah.
this really interesting story about Ruth asking Boaz
Okay.
to spread his wings over her.
Right.
And Dr. Payton points out that one translation actually just renders it as "marry me,"
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
which in the context of that culture
Yeah.
would have been like shockingly forward,
Right.
especially for a woman like Ruth.
Yeah, that changes the whole tone of the story.
Right, like
That's
it completely
y'all.
changes how we understand the character.
Yeah, and her intentions.
Yeah, and her intentions.
Wow, that's a powerful example of how a translator's interpretation can really like shift the meaning of a story.
Yeah, it's like it highlights
Yeah.
the importance of understanding not just the literal words, but also like the unspoken rules
Yeah.
and expectations of the culture.
Yeah, especially when it comes to things like communication styles.
Yeah, because like what's considered polite or appropriate,
Yeah.
you know, it varies so much from
Yeah.
culture to culture.
Absolutely.
So, wow, this deep dive has been a real eye-opener.
It has.
You know, it's amazing how something as seemingly simple as a figure of speech
Yeah.
can really like unlock so much about
Yes.
language and culture and how we communicate.
Absolutely. It's like a window into a whole other world.
Yeah, and it makes you realize like how much we take for granted,
For
you
sure.
know, when we're communicating with each other.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
there's so much
Yeah.
going on beneath the surface
Totally.
that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this deep dive has really made me appreciate the complexity of language and the importance of really being thoughtful
Right.
about the words that we use.
Yeah, for sure. So, after all that, like what's the takeaway for us?
Good question.
You know, it's like I'm suddenly so aware of all those figures of speech
Yeah.
that we just like toss around
right.
without even thinking about it.
Yeah. It really makes you realize how much we take language for granted. Yeah. And I think what really resonated with me is how Dr. Payton emphasizes that language isn't just about dictionary definitions, you know.
Oh, it's more than that.
It's so much more. It's about our culture and our values and our experiences.
Right. It's like language reflects who we are.
Exactly. And when we encounter language that's different from our own, it's a chance to really like step outside of our own worldview
right.
and see the world through someone else's eyes.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, do we ever stop to think about the cultural baggage that even our own phrases carry?
It's easy to forget about, isn't it?
Yeah.
But even within like one language, meaning can change based on, you know, where you're from or your social class, your age.
So many factors.
So many things.
Yeah. No wonder communication can be so tricky sometimes.
Seriously.
Like, it's not just about getting the words right.
Right.
It's about understanding.
The intent.
The intent, yeah. And like the emotions behind the words.
Yeah. It's like, what are you really trying to say? What's the message beneath the message?
Yeah. And that takes like empathy.
For sure.
And active listening. You know,
absolutely.
And recognizing that our perspective isn't the only one that matters.
It's so important to remember that.
Right. Oh. So I guess like understanding figures of speech.
Yeah.
Is really about understanding people.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's about, you know, appreciating the creativity
right.
and the nuance and how humans use language.
Uh-huh.
The sheer richness of expression.
So to wrap things up, here's a thought-provoking question for you or our listener.
Okay, shoot.
How does understanding features of speech change how you interpret familiar texts or how you interact with people from different cultures?
That's a good word.
You know, does it make you more aware of the potential for miscommunication?
Yeah.
Or more sensitive to the cultural weight that words can carry?
It's definitely something to think about.
Yeah. And if you're intrigued by this whole topic.
Yeah.
I think exploring resources on Bible translation or the cultures that we discussed today could be really fascinating.
I agree. There's a whole world out there to discover.
Yeah, there really is. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
And we'll be back soon with another equally intriguing topic.
Can't wait.
Until then, happy exploring.